This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's May 15th, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I am an absolute delirious Scott Long.
What could you possibly be happy about?
Not delirious as in happy, delirious as seeing, like, leprechauns jumping on my desk and pictures of Joan Rivers in Lay's potato chips. I'm glad that today's very awesome guest, Gina Delk, called us in a couple days ago, and we got a lot of the show done early, because folks, we normally tape the show, like, 7 hours earlier than we are now.
Right.
But I had to take my dad up to get the rotator cuff surgery this morning, and I tell you, that's a lot of fun.
Hey, wasn't he the Cy Young winner in 78 with the Indians?
He was.
Yeah,
he
that's
was.
What I thought.
Yeah, and to think he just waited this long to get that done, you know, trying to make a comeback in the St. Paul Saints or something like that. But, you know, I was up until 1 o'clock last night watching that the great end of Apes, and then I had to get up at 3 to take him to the hospital, and I just now got back. So I'm working on 2 hours sleep here, folks. So, if you're looking for me to make a verbal gaffe today, I don't think I will. I think I'm so tired and delirious that I'm actually going to do this show perfect.
You know, and leave it up to you to, one, not just sleep at your parents' house so you can get a little bit extra time in bed, but then also, two, to whine about that you're exhausted and you're too tired, but yet you're going on and on and on about this subject to make the show even longer and delay you from going to bed.
Good point.
But you know,
I mentioned...
Go ahead. I'm not going to get in your way.
I mentioned... Oh, I mentioned seeing, Joan Rivers in my Lay's potato chip here, and it's probably because this whole Apprentice finale on Sunday has been just eating away at my brain. And, Chris, I don't know whether you watch, but it sounds like you obviously have a respect, but, I mean, an opinion on what happened here. And
well, I got to tell you, I literally found out this week that you can't spell Trump without the word rump. Because this guy is an ass.
And, here, of course, what we're talking about is the fact that Donald Trump and Joan Rivers actually made us root for Annie Duke.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're upset about. I guess she also lost too. I mean, I guess I could be upset about that. But here's a woman that there's no love lost between either of us.
Right.
For this woman, I mean, I don't quite have the vitrolicness. See, I'm making up a word already. Vitrolicness that you have for her. I used to be an Annie Duke fan a long time ago until she just kind of wore me down with her. Me kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, and I softened up on her a little bit, and I actually felt bad for her watching the last two or three weeks of this show, and especially the last week. You know, I mean, it was just ridiculous. Joan Rivers and Donald Trump are obviously sleeping together. Obviously, they had the same, hairstylist and the same plastic surgeon. I really don't know what the hell is going on here, but it was clear that Annie Duke won this thing, and he's such a freaking hypocrite. There's no way that he would hire this woman in the real world, but he hired her on the show because he's friends with her, and it got the most ratings. It was all just baloney, and it actually turned me into an Annie Duke fan.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I am. I'm an Annie Duke fan now. And I have to admit, I think if we went back to when we first announced that she was on the show, that you were going to pull her, try to get her in your fantasy thing, and yeah. I said that I thought she would do really well and probably win the damn thing.
Yeah,
I was happy that she did well, and she really did. She was sabotaged, and she came through and still lost.
Yep.
And still lost. Bull. It's just bull.
Well, here's one other point I want to make. Obviously, we're not going to drone on forever on this show The Apprentice, but I was kind of giving Joan Rivers a little bit of credit. I mean, obviously, she's on my dead-to-me list, right up there with Brett Favre. Just for the all poker players are trash comment, I'm never going to let her live on that, regardless of whether that was just made for TV or not. But I really did think a lot of this was kind of trumped up for ratings.
Oh, yeah.
And just this fight that they thought, even though the ratings have been actually pretty poor this year comparatively, but I really honestly thought that was it. And then after the show was going to be over, there was going to be a big laugh between Annie and Joan about how they, you know, they trumped up this fight for the ratings. And right after Joan wins, she goes over and hugs Annie, and I'm like, all right, cool. This is exactly what I thought. But then the next day I start reading the news articles, and Chris, I have not found one yet where Joan was repentant at all for anything she said on the show.
No, I think she believes it.
Players or Annie.
I think that she believes everything that's in that sick little friggin' wooden head of hers. And I say wooden because she looks like that puppet Madam from, like, the 80s. Remember that puppet?
Oh, yes!
Yeah, she looks just like Madam. I mean, she's just insane. I think that she believes it, and I think her stupid daughter believes it, too. I think Melissa Rivers thinks that her mother was right and that Annie Duke really was conspiring against her, and Annie Duke was lying the whole time, and it's just ridiculous. And I don't even care. Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's talk about, if we're speaking of sabotage, let's talk about apes from last night, because I was sabotaged. I'm done with the Apprentice and Annie Duke forever. So, you know, we're playing Limit Hold'em, my least favorite game, but I don't mind it when it's like in a horse mix kind of thing. But when we're playing it all the time, I was playing three tables last night while I was playing Apes because I was so bored, which I never do. And, you know, I had the Ace Queen in one hand, and I'm not going to bitch and moan because I'm not doing that today. But
kind of sounds like you are.
No, I'm not. Tell you what, I'm not even going to finish the story. Screw you. I'm not even finishing the story. You know what? I had a big hand, and a guy called, even though I raised, and he got there, and I didn't. That's the nature of the game. So be it. I went out, and I played cash games, and I was happy. But I saw you. My God, you do the same thing every freaking week. Every freaking week, you go way down, then you, like, double up with a miracle, then you come back, and then you stick around for a while, and you just miss the money. Wow, don't you get tired of doing that?
No, I like to live on the edge, man.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to cash. I just want to see how low I can go and then build it back up. That's my big goal, Nate. So last night I got down to 210, turned it into 3,000, and then, of course, you know, lost track of the structure.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I was just going to say real quick that I would like to actually, instead of making it the Poker Stars monkey, I would like to make it the Poker Stars Groundhog for this month, because literally I was going through Groundhog Day again. I had hats and eyeglasses Scott at my table again this week. Again! It's like the sixth tournament in a row counting the free rolls. And then after he got eliminated or after I got moved, I was sitting at Fred Rice's table again, and again he eliminated me. I'm a demigod.
See, it's all scripted for ratings.
I'm a demigod. I have to be. How could I control this like this? I should make myself win all the time rather than constantly playing with the same players over and over and over again.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, let's give a quick shout-out to our champion, GapBand85, long, long-time listener. And I tell you, Chris, this dude, he wins this, and it looked like a fairly spirited towards the end with the final four, at least. I was drifting in and out of consciousness watching Proof of Life, you know, that Russell Crowe, Meg Ryan movie where he kind of falls in love with it. You know, it's a really sick movie.
Yeah,
but So you know, I was in and out of consciousness, but you know, it looked like it was a good finish. But Gap Band 85 takes this thing down, and you know what he does, Chris? He doesn't take that all those winnings and go blow it on booze or hookers like we would.
Like we
what does
would.
He do? He blows it on an Andy Up magazine subscription. Literally seconds after winning, I get an email from PayPal that he has subscribed to Andy Up magazine. So Gap Band, we appreciate that wonderful sharing of your bounty with us last night, and congratulations on your great victory.
That is awesome. Now that's his second banana, I believe.
You know, and here's the thing, and I'm really hoping that, obviously, we have his address now, so I'll get the banana and monkey out to him quickly, but, you know, we've had three winners up until now of this year's Apes, and we have, you know, one photo in our magazine.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Two people haven't sent us a photo of them of us with their banana and the monkey. And so, you know, I just want to kind of throw this out in case this is kind of the reason people aren't sending a magazine in. You know, it's okay if, you know, you're not as good looking as Chris. Not a lot of people are. But, you know, here's the thing. When you're in a magazine, you become what's known as magazine hot. you know, just because you're in the magazine, all of a sudden you look a little hotter than you normally would. So, you know, go ahead and send those pictures. Don't be scared. Send it to us, and trust me, you know, next to the little kiwi bird in New Zealand, I am the goofiest looking creature on the earth, and my picture's in the magazine at least once or twice every month, so hey, if I can do it, you can do it.
Hey, Scott, what are you doing after the show? No, but you know what I wanted to say was, we're having a lot of repeat winners, but I don't think we've ever had someone defend their actual title yet.
Ah.
You got to keep it fresh. You got to keep it real. So I'm saying Gap Band, right. Congratulations. But next year, you need to win the limit title again to, you know, really make it something significant. But nice job winning another banana. And our next event is event number 5, and this is the cool one.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to this.
8-game mixed. And I guess we're deep stacked at this, right?
Yeah, it's a double stack, yeah.
Yeah, double stack. And it's June 5th. And the free roll for that one will be May 27th. So bring your Brazilian friends.
And it's a 10 plus 1 buy-in, so it's a little juicier.
Yep.
Going to make you pay for those extra chips, and hopefully that'll get Snuffy to quit whining about the structure. You know, and that dude goes last night. I talked about somebody who had a good night. I mean, he goes out fourth in the Apes and then chops with me in the second chance. And, you know, I logged on to the forum this morning to see whether he had quit whining about the structure after taking down all that money. And hold on. I'm going to check the forum real quick. No, nothing. Nothing from Snuffy about how he was able to luck his way into the money with this crappy structure.
All right, well, let's not forget, next week's show will be Power Tips, and we haven't really figured out how we're going to do this just yet for the 8-game mix, but we will have some tips for letting you be successful during this Apes event. So
yeah, especially we'll have to work some Deuce to 7 in there, because we haven't really done too much justice to that game before, and that's one of the 8 games.
Yeah,
it's like the only 8 game in there that we haven't really done a lot of work on.
Yeah, we did a show on Deuce to 7.
Yeah, but we also did a show on Pod Odds. So
yeah. I thought our Deuce to 7 show was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
We were channeling Danny Negreanu because we were pretty much reading verbatim from his chapter in Super System 2. But all right, so anyway, last week's show, we had a lot of reaction.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Speaking of Deuce to 7.
it's not yet an official segment of the show yet, but it's getting close, isn't it?
Like reaction,
kind of the
I know.
Reactions to last week's show.
Which is good by me. I like that.
So, yeah, before we get on to some Deuce to 7 love here, we had a caller, Mike from New Jersey, called in. And, you know, I love this. Last week, I come on the show, and I do this hand mocking you.
Yep.
And really, I mean, it was a real hand. It happened. But I was kind of – I was putting it out there for the mocking Chris flavor, mostly entertainment. But, you know, our listeners, they just love hand analysis. They can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
1 minute mystery, hand of the week, not enough for them. So if they hear another hand on the show, they want to dive right in and analyze it regardless of whether it's there for – analysis. So let's listen to Mike from New Jersey and what he had to say about my hand.
Hey, Chris and Scott. I'm afraid since the voicemail reads it for Scott Long, this may not make it any further than his voicemail message. But I was just wondering, why the heck, Scott, did you move all in after the guy was betting out into that pot with your pocket aces with a three king board, just call there and see what he's got. I mean, if you re-raise and he calls, you know he's going to call you with a winning hand. So you're only going to get called by a better hand there. I just didn't understand your move there. I mean, it's bad enough you limped with the aces, but just wanted to say great show and had to leave a comment because I usually don't go online. So, all right, good hearing you guys. Catch you next week. It's Mike from Jersey. Thanks.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Of course, in the in my spiritness to make fun of you, Chris, karma bit me in the ass.
Karma.
And I totally messed this hand up. So yeah, I mean, all right. Go ahead. Criticize me for how I played. It wasn't exactly how it came down. I'm not gonna waste any time telling you how it really came down. I mean, the fact is that I flopped a second nuts to a guy that flopped a nut. So you know, that's not supposed to happen live, and it did. So. But yeah, all right, Mike, you're right. You know, I will never lump in with aces until the next time I have aces, I promise.
Yeah, we better hurry up with this show because you're getting that old man voice. You're going to fall asleep on me during the broadcast. So anyway, we had another guy, Matthew. This time he sent us a letter, and I'm hoping that, Scott, you're going to read it. But he's trying to give us some examples on the difference between Badoogie and Deuce to Seven, because last week we basically said they were about the same game, and I had said Deuce to Seven was easier than Badoogie, and he says to the contrary, right?
I did. You know, because we have to fight about one thing at least a week.
We fight all week long.
Yeah, that's true. That's
behind
true.
The scenes.
But anyhow, Matthew sent us this amazing analysis. You know, another one of our many thousands of our listeners that are extremely good at math, which is good because neither one of you or I are.
Yeah.
And he ran Badoogie and Deuce of Seven Hands through a bunch of different calculators, I guess something on 2dimes.net. Yeah. You know, throwing this stuff out like, I don't know what it is because I don't know what it is, but everybody else listening probably goes, oh, yeah, of course. But anyhow, Matt from New Liskeard, Ontario, and I purposely mispronounced that because I'm sure that's not right. But,
right.
But anyhow, essentially he was saying that, based on those calculations, that drawing from behind a Badoogie is a much bigger mistake than in Deuce to Seven. And
yeah.
He did a lot of math about how, you know, if you have a three-card Badoogie, but it's a really good three-card Badoogie, you're a huge favorite over some other hands. And but at most, you have 11 outs to win. It's really complicated, but it's really interesting. But then, of course, he showed some examples of Deuce to Seven where you're not quite as dominant.
Now, here's the thing, Scott, is that that only reinforces my point. I had said that Deuce to Seven, it was easier to make a hand in Deuce to Seven than it was in Badoogie, which is the same thing. He said if you're drawn from behind, it's a mistake in Badoogie, but not so in Deuce to Seven. That's right, because it's easier to make like an 8 or a 9 and still win in Deuce to Seven than it is to make, say, a 10 Badoogie and win. You know, I firmly stand behind what I had said. I believe Deuce to Seven is an easier game.
But this is why this is such a great letter, and is because that it proved both of our points, right? I don't think we were arguing over which game was better.
Right.
Or which game was harder. But
right.
In essence, I think we are saying the same thing because when I play Badoogie, I will stand pat on that king and let you guys in the home game keep firing bullets at me all night.
Yeah.
Because I know you're not going to catch up to me more often than not.
Yeah.
And I think, I could be wrong, but I think that the reason I do well in that game is because I do that and the rest of you kind of aren't comfortable with that king. Probably throw it away and try to get better. Whereas in Deuce to Seven, I get too comfortable with, like, you know, a hard 9 when you guys are drawing to better hands and get there because it's easier to get there.
Yeah, the term's a rough 9, Scott, not a hard 9.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was playing craps again.
Yeah, I don't think you can make a hard 9 in craps either. Man, you really are tired. All right, well, that email counts as a mailbag, doesn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, this morning, you know, in the 5 seconds of awakeness I actually had, I looked in our mailbag, and I turned it upside down, Chris, to be sure there wasn't, you know, sometimes some of the mailbag gets stuck in the burlap.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gave it a good shake to make sure there was nothing in it, and no, it's completely gone, empty. No mailbag, except for this great one from Matthew all the way from Ontario. So even though we put it in the reactions to last week, new super segment.
It will count
as our, It will count as our mailbag this week. And go ahead and give them a spin of the wheel here.
Here we go.
And we'll see what we can get them. Excellent, Matthew. You've got a deck of poker's most wanted playing cards. These are suitable cards for both Badooki and Deuce to Seven and all your favorite games.
Just don't look for Phil Ivey. I have to say that every week. If you think Phil Ivey's going to make your hand, you're going to lose.
All right, so Matt, send us the rest of your address. We have your city, of course, but although it sounds like a small enough city that maybe the postman knows you. but send the rest of the address, and we'll get that wonderful gift out. And the rest of you, obviously there's a void in the mailbag right now, so get those letters in and get yourself some easy swag.
Podcast at NEUpMagazine.com.
Hey, excellent.
Hey, you know, you really do need to get some rest, because you gotta go to the airport tomorrow.
I tell you, thank God for flying, because, you know, I got to get up in the morning and drive back up and take my dad up to get his dressings changed or something like that, you know. So I am going to be sawing some serious logs on that Southwest flight tomorrow, and I'm going to go ahead and apologize to all those passengers, because, as Chris can attest, I've put a number of lumberjacks out of business with my snoring.
It's bad, man.
And I'm going to be sleeping like a baby on that flight tomorrow. But yeah, I'm excited going up to Chicago. And very quickly, just one more reminder. On Saturday, head out to Chief O'Neill's. It's on the north side. Our good friend Chicago Joe has worked with Main Event Charity Games to set up two great tournaments, lots of cash games there. If you go to www.maineventcharitygames.com, you can get all the details, pre-register. There are two tournaments, the Scott Long Poker Classic. At 2 o'clock, to which, of course, I'll be late. But I'll get there in time to give the trophy. And then at 7 o'clock is the Antioch Poker Challenge, I believe it is. And I'll be playing in that. But there's cash games throughout the day there. And then a home game afterwards, I believe. And it should be a lot of fun. And if you don't want to play, just come out, hang out, have a glass of scotch with me. And we'll see you in Chicago.
Hey, you know, if you were a former Cy Young winner, you'd think you'd have a driver or an agent that could take them. You know, so you can just be relaxed and go to the airport tomorrow. But no! He has to have you do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's a little cat in the cradle stuff going on, so, you know. I'm like, hey, Dad, you want to play some catch today? You know.
Well, now God's paying him back by blowing out his rotator cuff. Now he can't have catch with you anymore.
That's why I said that joke today.
I know, it's too obvious. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was funny because, you know.
All right, so let's talk about the cruise.
Yes, yes, yes. Big news on the cruise. We have a wonderful sponsor and a whole list of satellites and other ways you can win your cruise. Finally, it took us a long time, Chris, didn't it?
Yeah, it took a little while, but we're happy that we got it.
Pinned all that stuff down. So go to our website, www.antiupmagazine.com/cruise. Has all the details of this cruise. We've you know, bored it into your head forever. But $359 per person, double occupancy. But now you can go look. A lot of the local rooms here in Tampa Bay and even beyond Tampa Bay are giving away cruise packages in the next couple months. And then, of course, our great new sponsor is doing some stuff online for us, too. So check that all out. And, of course, you know, if you're not lucky enough to win one of these seats through one of these things, call our great agent, Mary Kolb, at Go Travel Orlando by June 19th to lock in that great rate and get yourself a cabin. Her number again, 727-733-3498 or mkolb at gotravelorlando.com. That's M-K-O-L-B. And join us on the cruise. You know, Chris, somebody asked me last night how many folks we had. And between the guaranteed cruise packages we're giving away through the satellites and such and the people who have already booked, we're going to be over 80 cruisers right now.
Oh my God!
Right now, we still got 6 weeks to go.
Oh my God!
At least,
I don't believe it.
It's gonna be huge.
I don't think it's true.
Our friend Donald Trump.
I think you're lying. I think you're trying to trick the Antioch Nation into to purchasing some cruises by giving them false information.
totally not true. I actually had the little abacus out here. I even took my shoes off to get it up to 80.
All right. Well, I'm very excited about that, and I'm looking forward now. To the Antioch News Desk.
This ought to be fun with my altered sleep here.
Do you want me to read them? I can read them. We both got a, you know.
No, that's all right. I practiced in my sleep last night.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, legislatures in three states have been busy with poker bills, and depending upon where you live, you're excited, frustrated, or angry. In Florida, the House and Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill that removes most restrictions on poker, but because it's tied to a compact with a Seminole tribe, the changes could be more than a year away from happening. But in South Carolina, a Senate subcommittee sent three poker bills to the full Senate, but the Post and Courier reports that it's likely too late for the full chamber to consider them before adjournment. And finally, in Texas, the Austin Statesman reports that a bill to allow poker is on the House's calendar, but its sponsor won't push it until he believes the governor is likely to sign it.
Wow. Whew.
That was all one item.
You know what? We don't need to do any more items. Let's just move on to the hotline.
Well, I wish we could say that, but there's a lot of news going on this
week. Good God.
All right, so quickly, soon after he was elected, President Barack Obama asked citizens to go online and tell him what issues matter to them, most to them. And, Chris, I'm sure you did that, right?
Yeah, I did. My mom did it, too.
Oh, excellent. What about Aunt Judy?
No, but my mom did healthcare, not poker, so we're screwed.
Okay.
No, all I'm right. kidding. She actually did poker. I'm just kidding.
All right, but this week, Obama was given a briefing book with all the top issues in it, and Bluff Magazine says online poker was the top technology issue included in that, and the 11th most popular issue overall.
Wow. I guess that's good, right? That's impressive, right?
Seems impressive. The other thing that I'm kind of leaving out is that legalizing pot was also very high on the list, so there's a little bit of crackpot-ishness going on.
and not surprisingly... a lot of votes overlapped there between pot and poker. Everybody who had 420 in their avatar name.
I was going to say, exactly 420 of them overlapped. All right, and then finally, Poker Stars and the World Poker Tour signed a deal that gives the world's largest online site exclusive sponsorship of selected broadcasts in Europe and the Americas, according to Tourney Blog. Poker Stars will create native language hoes in some of those markets, Chris.
Native language hoes? Oh, my God. Oh, shows. Okay.
They don't need to create native language hoes. Those are already there. They've been there for the world's oldest profession.
Of course. I mean, especially in Europe.
But no, they're going to have, a little Vince Van Patten speaking, Portuguese.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Well, I don't know about Portuguese, but, flavor.
I can't wait for him to say, Siegfried and Roy in Spanish. All right, cool. Well, you know what? We had a call earlier, but that wasn't an official hotline call. That was more of a reaction thing. We got an official call from Paul in South Carolina.
Boy, we hope it's poker up there.
Yeah, I know. And I've never been there. Have you ever been to South Carolina?
I have been to South Carolina.
I've driven through it.
I blew out a tire in South Carolina on a dark, desolate highway.
With a cool wind in your hair?
Yeah. The story doesn't get any more exciting than after that. The tow truck driver picked me up, and I had to stay the nights in for the night. That's
it. Oh, my God.
Rim shot.
All right. Well,
yeah, I know. I hung out on Kiowa Island. That's a nice place. So
I just remember, what's there? Isn't that firecracker store there, the south of the border?
Yes. I have not been there. I did not go down that way. But
man, that always cracked me up because, you're going down 95. I'm moving here from Connecticut, and there's a sign like every 20 feet from that place. And then when you go past the exit, there's a sign from the Mexican guy, and he says, "Oh, no, amigo, you missed it."
Yes.
I love that sign.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in South Carolina. Almost enough stuff to offset Steve Spurrier. Almost. All right. Paul called in with a – actually, this is a very good hotline-type call.
Yeah.
So let's listen to what Paul has to say.
Hey, guys. This is Paul from South Carolina, and I wanted to know where the term – Post Oak Bluff came from. I know what it's about, but I sure don't understand where the name came from. Take care, guys.
All right, because I'm sure, I should say I'm sure, but I would think that you're like me, and when you think of Post Oak Bluff, you think of Doyle Brunson, right?
I think of two people, Doyle Brunson and Mike Sexton, because Mike Sexton always says it, but yeah.
You're right.
But I think of Doyle. I think of Doyle because of his book, Superstim, it's in there.
Yeah, he wrote in there, and of course he's been widely quoted as saying it's a gutless play. Now, of course, Paul says he knows what it means, but obviously some of our listeners probably don't know what it means. So very quickly, it's a post oak bluff is a small bluff on or small bet on the end, and essentially to rover your opponent. but no, it's a small bet on the end that's disguised as a value bet, even though you got a weak hand, and hopefully a good player will think, oh my God, he's value betting, he's got to be crushed, and you'll fold.
But I guess the other thing, too, is they want to know where that term came from.
Yeah.
Not just that. And I guess Mark Karam from Card Player had written something about it, and he said it was named after a small tree in the Oak family, whose lumber is among the cheapest to buy in Texas. So a post Oak Bluff, obviously suspiciously small and cheap. So I guess that's,
you know, Texas, of course. So yeah, it come. You know, all these great terms come from Texas.
Yeah, I mean, Doyle's always saying stuff like, "Gonna go outside and pull me up a weed." You know, I'm like, "What the hell does that mean?" But he just means, you know, they would go outside when they were really hungry for action. They'd go outside and pull up a weed, and whoever had the longest route would win the bet, you know? I mean, it's just sick, some of the stuff they come up with in Texas.
You know, I think we're going to put hardwood flooring in the house here, and I'm going to go with a post oak. You know,
so it's going to be really cheap.
Until we give ourselves our first official anti-up check. I'm just gonna, sorry, wife, I know you won bamboo. We're going with post oak.
All right, I'm going to spin the swag shelf wheel. Here we go.
Congratulations, Paul. Send us your address, and we will ship you out a freshly minted set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from GreatPokerHands.com. It will give you all the information you need to anticipate making a post-oak bluff three or four streets later.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery. The Case of the Dancing Tens. It's the middle of a no-limit multi-table tournament, and the level is 150-300, and the antes have just kicked in at 25. Our stack size is 6,500, which is just shy of average, but our M is only 10. The end of the gun folds, and the under the gun plus one, a player with 8,500 in chips, makes it 1,275 to go. The MP on our right folds, and it comes around to me with 10-10.
Now that's a pleasant surprise.
I pause to think about this for a moment. I'm in mid-position with five players still the act, although the small blind is timed out, so let's say four. The table is tightened up, and I don't see players coming along for odds at this point, so I'm going to get adventuresome and decide to call instead of raise. The rest of the players play nicey-nice and fold, and we are heads up when we see a flop of jack of clubs, four of clubs, four of diamonds.
I don't think he's in a rush.
Our opponent pauses for a moment, then c-bets 1,200 into the pot of 3,200. So, what are you going to do?
And that's not all. Buy today and we'll set you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
The Antioch PokerCast has been on the air longer than today's guest has been playing poker, but she's quickly becoming a force in the game. This member of the Antioch Nation has banked more than $100,000 on the tournament trail, including just missing a World Poker Tour final table and winning the ladies' event at the Harris New Orleans Circuit Stop. She's back in New Orleans this week to defend that title, and we're pleased to welcome Gina Delk to the show. Thanks for joining us, Gina.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so get us started. You're in New Orleans now. What's going on there?
Well, it's warm, as you could imagine, and there's actually a lot of players here, which I'm very happy to see. Yeah, but I did have something exciting happen on the way to the casino this morning. I got my glasses on, I walk in, and the security guard that normally just says hello every morning says, "I need your ID." I said, "Excuse me?" And she said, "I need your ID." And I said, "I'm 45 years old." She goes, "Well, you don't look it." And so I started laughing, pulling out my ID, and I said, "My 25-year-old son is going to love this."
Oh,
and she's like studying it. It's so fun. I loved it.
Well, I got to tell you, I think she was hitting on you, to be honest.
Yeah, probably that was it.
Because that's happened to us before. We've gone up, especially up there in the bayou. You know, they ask your ID, and clearly you're older than what they're looking for. And people say, "Oh, they're convinced they're just hitting on you."
That's probably what it was. I missed that, though. I'll have to check it out when I go back.
So how many events are you playing while you're up there?
I can play as many as I want, luckily, on this trip. So if I feel good, I'm playing the next day. If it doesn't feel right, then I'm not. That's kind of how I'm doing it. And when I win a big one, I automatically take the next day off. So.
Ah, yes, to pamper yourself. Very good.
That's right. Got to go to the spa and do all the stuff.
All right, well, speaking of pampering, you are the reigning Cajun Classic Queen, I believe it's called, because you won the Ladies No Limit event last year at this circuit stop. So in a game like poker, it's so tough to defend a title, but you've got a couple days here before you get to start to do that. So what's your game plan going in?
I've made a lot of friends, and that's always helpful at the table because they don't like to see you leave. So I will be renewing those friendships. I will arrive early and be saying hi to all my lady friends. But I really do enjoy seeing them. It's not just all an edge either. But anyway, I'll be doing that. And I'll do like I did last year. In the ladies event, you have probably at one table, you probably have two very knowledgeable players. You probably have two people that it's their first or second tournament, and then some novices that are just getting used to the game. And so you need to quickly identify which ones are which. And then that helps you go forward because you're going to get all kinds of, oh, my gosh, I have a monster tails with pocket sevens because somebody told them a pair was a good hand. So you got to be careful. You got to evaluate where you're at there, that's for sure. Sometimes the new players will call you all the way to the river. It's not that they're ladies. It's just that they're inexperienced.
It seems like lately, every time I interview a female player, I have to ask her this question. There's always this debate going on about female poker players and whether they should play in ladies' events only. Or not only did you win the New Orleans title last year, but you also just missed the final table of the World Series of Poker's ladies' championship last year as well. So obviously, we kind of know what side you're on, but what do you make of this debate?
Well, I understand the reason for the debate. But I wish it wasn't there because I personally am one of those ladies who would not be playing poker today had it not been for the ladies event 3 years ago that I played, the first one. My husband played. I was learning to play the game. He came to play several events 3 years ago here in New Orleans, actually. And, he put me in the ladies event, which I'm sure a lot of the guys do for their ladies. And I had a good time, but I also had a bad beat. So immediately when I was out of that tournament, they were calling for the mega satellite. And I walked over to him. I said, give me $1,000. Went and played the mega, and I won my seat. So I played a $10,000 event for my third tournament.
Wow.
So we can just walk up to Michael and demand $1,000 and he'll give it to us.
It probably won't work for you. He thinks I'm a little cuter, I'm sure.
All right, so despite the success of players like Jennifer Harmon and Annie Duke and Vanessa Russo and great organizations like I know you know the High Heels Poker Tour here in Florida, women
Absolutely.
Still make up such a small percentage of poker players. What's it going to take to get more women into the game, do you think?
Well, I'm hoping that Annie Duke being on the Celebrity Apprentice is going to help us a little bit. It surely got people to talk and make
Certainly
them think
did.
That there's a strong woman playing. You know, it helps them identify to see that, well, maybe they could. But I think it's just going to take really a lady winning, you know, like the main event. That would work. Or, you know, a new final table lady would be great.
Yeah.
This year would be fine. I think that would be the way to do it.
Recently, you joined the Poker Players International team along with fellow Annie Upper Lee Childs. Can you tell us a little bit more about PPI and basically what it's done for you?
Certainly. PPI is basically an agency. So I have an agent, but the agent's also representing lots of big names in the poker world. So they are negotiating with companies that maybe wouldn't want to talk to the Gina Delks of the world, but certainly like this roster of players. And so they're negotiating team contracts as well as individual contracts. I personally have like this really nice business card, which really makes me look important at events. And, you know, maybe a photographer snapping a picture, I can just give him my information, you know. So it kind of gives me a little edge up that way for sure. And then, of course, I get to wear the competitor's logo at events.
What a great guest.
And that always generates photography information, which, of course, is what I want. So but the most important thing for me is that I feel like I'm on the edge of a really big win. And so having an agent in place with a phone number to have somebody just take over any negotiations, it's going to help me make sure I get fair market value for whatever I am worth. And that's what is very comforting to me to know that I have that.
PPI is such a different type of agency from other ones. And you mentioned the team concept. But have you seen other differences? I mean, obviously, you know, poker royalty and things like that, that they go after, you know, specific players. Are there other differences that you've noticed that drew you to PPI?
Well, actually, there's a couple other things. They also are working on getting us some group benefits together, just like any other union for a sports thing. And I think having group health insurance would be very nice to my bankroll. It's very expensive to buy your own. And so that's one of the things they're hoping to have in place very soon. And also, we do have some sponsorship opportunities already, you know, with some of the companies that are already on board. And so, like, my pink sunglasses you might see are from our sponsor. And, you know, I love wearing them, and people ask about them, and I get to talk about them. And so that's good for me and them as well. So that's fun.
Well, sticking with PPI for a little longer here, you write a blog for them, I guess, and as all the bloggers do, you write on a variety of things, not just poker. You know, how do you decide what to write about from day to day?
Well, I don't write every day, at least not yet. But as a young girl, I used to actually write a journal every day, so I was familiar with writing the activities of my day down. And so, except for the pieces that, like, I have a topic that I want to write about, the day-to-day things, I just kind of do the same way I did the journal when I was a young girl. I just kind of tell the story of what happened to me today, you know, something that might be interesting to remember. So, you know, it's just whatever spikes interest to me, but luckily I have this new iPhone, and it has a place where I can write down ideas. So I have a huge list, so when I run out, I'm definitely going to need help.
I can never understand why girls always had diaries and journals. It always seemed like on television to get them into trouble. Did you ever get into trouble with your diary?
Well, not from my diary. I wasn't like hiding what I was doing, so I was obviously always in trouble.
Very good.
No, you're also very candid on your blog, and recently you disclosed that you suffer from permanent nerve damage that obviously affects your poker play, or can affect your poker play.
Certainly.
How much of a challenge has that been for you, and what are you kind of doing to combat the problem?
Actually, it's a very huge issue. It keeps me from coming out to play as much as I would like. I have to plan my days so that I'm able to play. Like, if I'm playing, all my energy is pretty well devoted to that, and then I rest. Like, I'm not able to drive, so I have to have a driver to go places, and that makes things a challenge. But also, if my condition's flaring up, I might get the shakes, and so that affects the game in itself. They think I have a big hand, like, freaking out over here. But the biggest thing is I can't sit for long periods of time, so if you're sitting next to me at the poker table, you're going to see me stand. You're going to see me contorting myself into weird positions so that I'm not actually sitting all the way down. And so sometimes the other players get annoyed by that. They'll call the floor over. She has to sit down to play, you know, and stuff like this. But, you know, I have a honest disability, and so sometimes we get in a little arguments about that. But it works out.
No,
I even had one tournament that I had to lay on the floor between hands, so
wow.
Whatever.
Oh, wow.
Whatever it takes.
So is the nerve damage in your legs, or is it in your arms?
It's a little delicate. It's my pelvic floor.
Ah, okay. Mm. Wow.
So probably enough of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the sitting thing.
Wow.
It's a real problem, yeah. It's bad. So, you know, I can't lift heavy things, and like when like on this trip, I'll be here till the end, but when I get home, it'll take at least a week before I'm able to really do anything much at home, because it'll just take that long for my body to recover.
So let's talk about happier things here.
That sounds good to me.
You're featured in a new documentary called Heartfelt, which I believe is supposed to be released sometime this year. Tell us a little bit about what that movie is about.
Well, I met them last year at the World Series of Poker. They were doing some filming, and they came up to me as I was getting, I think we were down to three tables in the ladies' event, and asked me to be interviewed. And I went and did it. And what they're doing is they're just trying to focus on the number of females competing in the tournament, and then more about the psychology and the motivation, the characteristics of this, of the demographic of, you know, us playing tournaments. They're focused on the player, not the play. So it's going to be a little different. It's going to be more storytelling, I think.
Oh, cool.
And their goal is to just share the heart, mind, and soul of the female player. The people that are putting it on are Candy Byrne and Al Rosen, and their production company is Celtic Knots. So I think July is when it's due to be out, so hopefully at the series, I'm hoping that they'll actually be on timeline and be able to put it out then. That'd be a really great time to bring it all around.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, who else? Was it just following out at the Harris event, or are they following around the country?
They've been multiple places. Unfortunately, I don't know all the names of the really great ladies events that are on California area, but they went to several of those and actually filmed on location. But they've got the list of people they have is huge that they've interviewed. In fact, one of your friends, Lauren, from High Heel Poker Tour is one of them. And they've got some big names and some not so big names, but a lot of names I recognized, and also a lot of people like me that were basically unknowns. They just look for interesting stories, whatever was compelling to them, and then ask, you know, can we interview you? So I think it's going to be really neat.
Well, combining that with, of course, your representation with PPI and your excellent poker play, hopefully someday you'll actually be at a level where you'll have sponsors who are covering your travel and pay your way to tournaments. But until that happens, how do you actually decide what events are worth traveling to and playing in?
Well, I do have a little different criteria than the average poker player because I travel alone, and with my health issues, safety is a big issue, and then how I get there. So I have to have a nonstop flight.
Right.
It has to, the location has to be close to the airport. Like, for example, to go up in the Northeast, some of those locations, you can't, like Foxwoods, you can't really fly in that close at a reasonable price. So those are things that I check on. And then I do look at the structure as well. But first off, it's, you know, the health issues. And like I said, traveling alone makes it difficult. So I have to be able to get around when I get there. So I love New Orleans. It's across the street. I can do this one real well.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a great little room down there, too. What else can you tell us about being on the road? I mean, obviously, it's a different type of being on the road for you than it is from, you know, some other players. But obviously, you're away from your family.
Actually, when I worked as a CPA auditor, and I traveled for my job. So I am used to being gone for at least part of the year, 3 and 4 weeks at a time. So it's something my family was used to anyway. So I've learned to just kind of adapt to the poker lifestyle. I'm not the usual one. I don't go out and party. I don't go to restaurants. I tend to get food to go, come back to my room, and tend to myself so I can be ready to play. You know, it takes all that. But the best is shopping and spas, and I do treat myself to those things, definitely.
Awesome.
Yep, I'm doing my best to stimulate the economy that way.
Well, you mentioned earlier about going to the World Series. Hopefully that, you know, they're going to have this movie on board at the same time you're there. How many events are you going to play?
At this point, I know I'm going to play the $1,000 event. That looks very compelling. I'm going to be pre-registering here shortly for that as well.
Cool.
And then I'm staying all the way through to the ladies' event, and then I'll be coming back home for a while, and then I'll be back out for the main. That's my plan. Now, obviously, if I, you know, bracelet the $1,000 event or something like that, then I'll just stay. Barring that, I'll go back home for a little visit and then go back out.
we'll thank Happy Thoughts for that to happen.
Absolutely.
Did you satellite into the main event, or are you going to buy straight in, or...?
Last year I bought in. I took my ladies' winnings and bought in. I will attempt to satellite in, but I don't know what it is about the World Series of Poker and me and satellites. I have never won a satellite out there.
Oh, no.
But I know they've changed the structure this year, so I'm obviously going to try it again. It's just not cost effective if you do it 2 or 3 times and then buy in.
Well, it makes you feel better. Neither Chris nor I have won a satellite out there yet.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to have to spend some time on my satellite play, I think, and maybe I'll call up Lee and see if he can help me out.
When you're home, you live here at Merritt Island in Florida, and I know you drive over to Daytona Beach Kennel Club and that great new facility they have there to play your cash games and tournaments. Obviously, we have new laws that hopefully will eventually kick in here in Florida. What do you think that's going to mean for the state's poker players?
Well, I know that just being here in New Orleans, hearing people talk about it that don't live in Florida or have heard about it already, and it is early that they're hearing about it to me, and people are talking about, oh, I'm going to move there, there's no state income tax, and if they're going to have a good game, it's a great place to live, there's the beach, what's not to like? So I think it's going to bring us a boom that we maybe aren't expecting, and I certainly hope it will bring one of the series to, you know, maybe one of our big casinos in the state. That would be just amazing for tourism, and it would really help our economy. We need that.
Yeah. Well, I never, and never, you know, I just wrote a column about what I thought this might mean for the state, and it never occurred to me that people might actually move here because of that. That's interesting.
I've literally heard four or five people already mention that they would move here.
Wow.
I always like to ask married couples who play poker this question, because I know you mentioned that your spouse Michael plays, and he actually had some nice caches as well. Are you two competitive with each other, or do you try to learn from each other? How does that work out?
Well, like any married couples, we fight about poker. and we are competitive together. We don't share a bankroll. We might borrow from each other on our bankrolls, and then we actually literally pay it back. We don't split. We don't share each other's action at the table, and we do inform the table if we do happen to be at the same table that we are married. But
Okay. Sometimes
the dealer will say they'll be fighting each other harder than they'll be fighting you. We definitely like bragging rights. At this point, I came in first in a Mother's Day tournament, and he came in second, and he asked me to chop, and I said, no effing way.
I guess.
That was great fun. And I won something god-awful, like a 10-7, and he was so mad. And I said, well, I know you would never play that. So it was quite fun.
Oh, that's great.
Now, that just reminded me that you had a big hand here in New Orleans already that you wanted to talk about.
I certainly
did.
Yesterday, it was an amazing hand, and it's one of those hands that actually poker players just kind of dream about. the blinds were just 100 and 200, and we had a 2500 ante. And I was in middle position, and I looked down to the jack 10 of spades. I limp. There was a lot of limping going on the table, so I thought, okay, we'll see what happens. So the hijack also limps, but then the big blind, a very active player at our table, he bumps it up to 800. However, I thought he only made it 600, and because of the way the chips were on the table, there was like 200 and 200 and then six separate. So I thought it was two limps and a 600. So I throw out the six, and they're like, oh, it's eight. And I went, okay, I'll put in the other two. I probably really wouldn't have called the other two. I don't know why, but I don't think I would have. But anyway, I thought, okay, we'll go with this. And then the flop is kind of interesting. It is the nine of diamonds, the eight of spades, and the nine of spades. So now I have an open-ended straight flush draw. I'm really liking my hand. And the big blind being out of position does what a good player does and thinks he's going to push me out of the pot and puts 2,200 in this rather small pot. And I call. And the turn comes out the queen of spades.
Oh, I now know
I cannot be beat.
Yeah, that's a nice hand.
And the big blind obliges me and puts out 2,500. And I do my best Hollywood job of thinking how difficult it is. I'm counting out chips, seeing how many I got left, and sighing. You know, he should have known. But he didn't. And so I call. And then I spend the rest of my time thinking, how am I going to get the rest of his chips? Well, then the river is the eight of diamonds. So,
sweet.
Yeah, so we've got two flush draws on board. We got full houses. We got everything. We got absolutely everything. And so he obliges and put in 4,500 and left like 350 back. I'm like, no.
So let's
take it all. So we do. And guess what the villain had? He had pocket queens.
Oh, man.
The queen of spades made him have trips. Well, actually, a full house.
Yeah, at the end.
Because of the nine.
Right, yeah.
Right. And
wow.
He was shocked. He said, you have what? I said, I have a straight flush. And he keeps looking, and he's looking at these cards, and he's looking down, and he goes, that beats me. And so that took me up to 38,000, and I think at this point the average was close to 10 or 11. It was pretty early.
Wow.
So that was great.
Well, at least he understood hand ranks. We'll give him that.
Yes, he did. And I'm sure he didn't even really consider a straight flush in there. You just don't.
No, yeah.
And if it beats you, God bless him. Unfortunately, another guy later on, a guy I like to call Mr. Active, 12 hands in a row, raised or re-raised or four-bet people out of pots. And I decided to take a stand at the wrong time, thinking my trip aces on a seven-handed table might be good. No. He flopped the full house. And played me like you would not believe, and he got all my chips, and, you know, he should be commended. I'm going to go see if he used them wisely here in a little while. If he didn't, I'm going to probably tell him a thing or two.
You know, does that make you feel better when we haven't talked about this on the show, but does it make you feel better if you know, somebody that beat you like that actually goes on to win? Do you feel better about it?
Well, actually, yeah, I like to go up and say thanks for using my chips well. You know, it's really annoying to pass it on to a guy and then three hands later they're out. I really don't make those huge mistakes like that often that people are going to get my whole stack. So I can hold on to those chips for a really, really long time.
Speaking of hand analysis, you want to stick around for our hand of the week?
Oh, let's give it a go.
All right, that's excellent.
Hi, this is Clooney Gallen, and you're listening to Annie Up.
All right, yeah, we got a lot of pressure here because, you know, as we know on the show, we haven't been doing them with the pros lately.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, so I don't even know what I'm supposed to say.
No, but it's more worried as I've really got to get all the details correct. And that's a big challenge for me usually, so.
Well, when you get to know me better, you'll know that I can't even normally relay a hand properly, which infuriates my husband because we're fighting. And then he'll say, oh, you should have done that. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, he didn't hit that. So the only reason I got the straight flush hand right was because as soon as it was over, I got out a pen and paper and had the paper tell me. Because then I already didn't know. So no pressure on me.
Well, luckily, today's Hand of the Week submitter actually copied it off of PokerStars.com, so we don't have that problem. But we'll see whether I can mess it up in reading it to you. But anyhow, this comes from John Whipple in Sumner, Washington, Chris.
Okay.
Isn't the Charmin guy Whipple?
It's Mr. Whipple.
Yeah, well, yeah. this could be him, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, dare to dream, all right? All right, Gina, he's playing in a 1 cent, 2 cent, no limit hold'em game on PokerStars. All right, probably a little bit beneath where you're at now, right?
Oh, when I'm online, that's about where I play. I'm not very good online.
Excellent.
All right, well, good. We're off to a good start here. All right, so he said he's been playing for an hour, and the table had just turned conservative, and a new player enters and joins the table. And looking at the chip stacks, he's about average in chips, and one player with a little bit more than that. And our hero here is in the big blind. Got a fold, a call, a fold, and a check from a post guy who posted, and the fold. And then a small blind calls. Wow. All right, so it's a lot of people, and it's a big blind, and he looks down at Jack. So with a lot of people in the hand, what do you do here, Gina, with a high pocket pair?
Like in a 1 cent, 10 cent game.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're obviously going to have to raise, or you could opt to seriously just call and see if you hit your set, and then you might be able to stack somebody.
See, I get vilified for that, Gina. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, but you have to be willing to throw it away if it...
Ah, and I am.
Well, then that's okay.
All right, good.
I do that sometimes.
You're my favorite guest this week.
Oh, my God.
But what would you do normally? Would you raise it here?
Normally, I would probably raise it, although I really don't like the big blind position very much. So, yeah, you're going to have to raise it big if you're going to play this hand to play it out of position, definitely.
And, Chris, I know you're raising here.
Yeah, I mean, I would think I would probably make it 10 cents to go. I mean, I've got to narrow this field with just jacks. They're a terrible hand, and I'm out of position the rest of the way. Unless the small blind's the only one who calls me. So I'm going to have to make it like 10s. Plus, you got the guy who posted, so he's not going to have a good hand. And you got the small blind calling just because of the pot odds. So I'd probably make it 10 or 12 to go.
All right. Excellent. Well, he raises 8 cents to make it a full dime. We get one guy out of the way, but two callers. All right. So three of us going to the flop of Queen of Diamonds, Three of Spades, Jack of Spades.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Well, good. I'm glad everybody's happy with the
yeah,
with the middle
so
set.
We still have some things to worry about. It's not over, that's for sure.
You're right. Yeah, if it was over, it wouldn't be a hand of the week, that's for sure.
That's right. Got to worry about the straight and the flush and all that stuff.
So the small blind checks, and it's up to us, and we're going to want to put a bet out here, I assume, right?
Definitely.
It's about, what, 35 cents in the pot or so?
Pot is 16 cents right now.
Oh, boy.
16.
Well, we can't have 16 cents.
He made it 10 to go. How could it be? It, one caller's 20 cents.
I'm just reading what he wrote. So
I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, see, you already messed it up once.
I have not yet made a mistake. He possibly has, though.
It Correct, correct. Let's see.
Right, well, there's two callers, and we made a dime. There's at least 30 cents in the pot, plus the dead money, plus the rake, so it's probably about 30 cents or so.
I'm sorry, 32 cents.
There you go.
We go.
So someone did mess it up, didn't they?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we knew you wouldn't let us down.
All right, so 32 cents.
I mean, I would have to bet, like, at least the pot here, and maybe even more just because of all the draws, but I don't know. What do you think, Gina?
I like pot here maybe a little bit better because you still, have two active players.
Yeah.
Because if one calls, then the other one pretty well has odds to call. So, yeah, a little bit bigger in pot, I think.
Awesome.
Okay. Our hero puts just a dime in there.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's real bad.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All right. Behind him, he gets raised another dime to 20 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And the small blind gets out of the way, so it's heads up now, and we can either call the 10 or raise.
I think at this point, I don't know the stack sizes, but you're left with just the new guy, right?
That is correct. It is just the new guy.
So you don't really have any information. I'm going to have to put a really big bet out there.
Yeah.
And the new guy did start this hand with $3, so about the same as we did.
I might just crazily overbet it.
Well, it doesn't stand to reason that he has pocket queens, right? Because he just checked on preflop.
Right, right. Yeah, I can't put him on that. I can only put him really on a straight draw, flush draw. Perhaps two pairs, but we beat that, so we like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, our hero decides just to call here, and the pot is now 72 cents, and I am correct in saying that. And the turn comes a 9 of clubs.
Yeah, that's a bad card.
Yeah.
And we are first to act, and this was I like this hand because of this now, because we deduced that we had the best hand on the flop, but now we get a scared card, and we're out of position.
Yeah, I mean, King 10 is perfectly
it's certainly,
acceptable
yeah, it
here.
It fits in there real well.
So that's a scary, scary card now, and you should have bet more earlier, just like it
well,
always
and
seems to be that way.
He could have anything. He could even have 8-10, because he was the poster.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And we didn't bet enough to make the gut shot go away earlier.
Nope.
So we
nope.
should, yeah, it's all our own fault now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, here's the dilemma, I think, here now, is that if you check, then you're opening up to this guy to take it away from you or make you make a tough decision for your chips.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bet out, obviously you're afraid that he has the made hand and you're going to get raised. So what do you do here, Gina, our resident pro?
I'm not your resident pro. I just have a hobby that's got out of control. But anyway, let's see. What do I want to do here? I think I'm going to want to try to bet to find out where I'm at. Maybe a dollar.
Okay, so you're going to overbet the pot again. You're good.
Yeah, yeah. But I have a tendency to push things around in these small stakes. That's why I kind of step in line.
All right. Well, our hero is still not in line with any of us and checks. His opponent bets out 40 cents into the $1.12 pot, and it gets back to us.
All right. So he bet 40 cents, and now it's $1.12. We have to call 40 to win $1.12 is what you're saying.
It's true.
Yeah.
I would definitely call. I still have 10 outs, mm-hmm. And that person didn't bet enough to get me off my hand. So I would call there. But I like Gina betting, though, first. I mean, I definitely would have bet maybe a little less just to see a defensive bet. But now I got away with a bargain, really, 40 cents instead of a dollar. But I probably would have bet about a dollar as well earlier.
I concur. That would be good, too.
Yeah. So I'm happy to only have to call 40 cents to try to hit one of my 10 outs.
All right. How about raising here? And I suggest this because that's what our hero did.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's such a dangerous board. I'm not sure.
And we don't really want to reopen the betting in case we're behind, which
absolutely,
yeah.
Very likely we are, right?
Exactly.
All right, well, he raised it another 40 cents to 80 cents, and his opponent raised it again up to $1.20 now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, we're about out of money now, aren't we?
It's getting close.
Getting pretty close. All right, so it gets back to us, and we just call. The river brings the ace of hearts, and our hero believes that his opponent just made two pair, which is good for him.
Hmm. Interesting.
And the room gets
what
quiet.
What ace did he think he had, I wonder?
That's the thing, too, is like, if he thinks now an ace made him two pair, wouldn't he have raised with any of those aces except for ace three? I mean, wouldn't he have raised with ace queen or even ace jack just joining a small
absolutely.
Table?
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't think
absolutely.
It's
yeah.
It's
well,
aces
anyway.
Up. It's, if it's aces up, that'd be really shocked.
Well, maybe he thinks the ace nine or the ace three.
Yeah, that's shocking.
I don't know. Yeah.
All right, well, our hero checks despite thinking he has the best hand. Opponent, of course, moves all in.
Right.
We're probably going to have to call here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, with all the money that's out there and we still have a set, I'd have to call.
Yep.
All right, that's what we do. And our opponent shows Queen of Hearts, Jack of Clubs, and I guess our hero knew what he's doing all along.
Yeah, seems that way.
But it's an example of winning the pot, but not something that you want to repeat, am I safe in assuming?
I agree.
All right, John, well, we welcome, we're very happy that you gave us a hand, and hope you had some fun watching us rip it apart with our friend Gina Delk here today. Now, Gina, you're on the phone, but I think you can virtually spin our prize wheel to find out what our good friend John won, in addition to this huge pot.
Okay, here we go.
You want a wonderful card protector from PokerFaces.tv. Fortunately, you send us your address, so we'll get that out to you right away. And everybody else, send us your hand of the week to podcast@annieupmagazine.com, and we'll get on a future show. So, Gina, thanks so much for calling in. I know you you might want to get in a tournament here soon, so we won't keep you any longer, so you can run down there. And we'll be watching from afar and hope that you can repeat that title and win lots of other money for us.
I'll be putting my updates through Twitter and Facebook. So,
all right. What's your Twitter account, too?
It's Gina Delk.
Gina Delk. Excellent. All right. Yep. We'll be following you there.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Gina.
Uh-huh.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, she was funny, wasn't she?
I love Gina. She's great.
She was really fun.
Hope that she's able to defend that title this week. And, you know, Floridians are just crushing that circuit event.
I know you're on our
blog at annieupmagazine.com/blog. So hopefully her name will be up there very soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great interview. She's fun.
Yeah, she was fun, and it was another good show, a fun show, and you should go to sleep now.
I think I will do that. I'm going to attempt to get about 45 minutes of sleep here before I have to pick my dad up again.
All right, well, good luck in Chicago. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we will see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.